listeners. Welcome to PwC's Organization and Workforce Transformation Podcast. This series is focused on helping you make a difference as an HR leader and business partner. In each episode, you'll receive new ideas from an experienced leader who is helping employers to drive workforce transformation. You'll also receive clear takeaways to put these ideas to use in your own organization. If you'd like to follow along as we present our podcast today, please check out our website at pwc.com/people analytics. I'm Jeff Jolton, Managing Director of PwC's People Analytics Practice and your host for today's podcast. I am joined by Ale Matamala, one of our talent architecture and employee experience managers, and also by Susie Marlowe, one of our People Analytics Directors. Today, we're going to be discussing how talent architecture can help you and your leader successfully undertake organization transformation with a strong foundation that supports talent management and builds organization capabilities. Before we get started, I'd just like Ale and Sid to take a minute to introduce yourself. So, Ale.
Thanks, Jeff. My name is Ale, and like Jeff, I have my PhD in IO psychology. I've been in the talent management space for over 15 years, and I'm really passionate about improving the employee experience overall.
And I am Susie Marlowe. I am passionate about the people side of business, and I've been very fortunate to spend the bulk of my career over 15 years working with leaders to build and implement talent strategies that help their organizations and their people be successful and to thrive.
Great. Thank you both. It seems like you might have a little idea about what we're talking about today, which is just great. As we get started, let's talk a little bit about what talent architecture is. I know we've often, in our discussions, likened talent architecture to actual physical architecture, and that the foundation is really needed for our different programs. I'll turn to you both to really tell us what exactly is talent architecture, and maybe go into a little detail on how it can help us prepare for the workforce of the future.
Yeah, that's a great question, Jeff. And when we think about talent architecture, we're really talking about two types of solutions. First, we talk about job architecture. And job architecture is the system of job types, job levels, job descriptions that define the purpose of each job within an organization and really link it to important work that's done from the day-to-day perspective to help that organization achieve its business goals. An ideal job architecture is streamlined, it's simple, it's consistent, and it's scalable. And it creates a very clear linkage between jobs in the organization and what people do every day to a variety of different talent management activities. So everything from hiring, compensation, performance management, learning and development, for example. When we talk about knowledge architecture, which is the other piece of talent architecture that we think about, we're talking about things like skills libraries, competency models, and talent assessments. And these are important because they support employees in the organization. And just to dig into, for example, skills libraries, what we're talking about there is a robust compendium of skills. What we ideally want to see is that those skills are linked to particular jobs, include technical and non-technical and even industry-specific skills, and identify the kinds of proficiency or expertise levels that employees need to be demonstrating for their respective job at their level to be successful. And so that's part of what we talk about when we describe knowledge architecture. Ale, I know you've done a lot of work in the competency modeling and talent assessment space. Do you want to talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, absolutely, Susie. I mean, I think what we see in the market really is that the most successful clients are actually pairing their skills libraries with competency models. I like to really think of competency models as almost that higher level view of what a skills library provides. So really defining at a high level those critical behaviors for success on the job. Now, this really helps to create clarity in terms of expectations on the job, but it also ideally creates consistency for the employee. So creating the competency model in and of itself is great, but really leveraging and embedding that competency model into different talent management areas like performance management really brings competencies to life. I think the other thing I'll mention that Susie brought up was talent assessments as well. And talent assessments really are the way to activate and sustain knowledge architecture. So this is what you can use to really measure either the skills or the competencies that you've defined for success and measure these at a really granular individual level. So you're actually asking employees to rate themselves on some of these competencies or skills. You might be supplementing this with manager or other ratings as well, and getting a really robust view of what the proficiencies are on these particular capabilities you're interested in measuring. I think the last thing I'll add here, that talent assessments are really versatile. So we see clients use them for a variety of reasons, whether it's directly upskilling and driving towards new capabilities or new competencies that you might define, or more traditionally using them as a leader or management development tool. So a lot of variety in terms of the content and how we can structure the format of the talent assessment itself.
This sounds great. So what I'm really hearing from both of you is that there's a whole element of talent architecture as the broad structure, but actually go down to the individuals and what they're doing and the skills and capabilities that they bring to their work. Sounds great. My question then beyond that is, why is this so valuable right now with everything going on in the world?
Yeah, great question, Jeff. I mean, certainly I think the three of us would probably agree that a talent architecture is important all the time. But I think right now in particular, because of the changes we're seeing in the market, because of the changes we're experiencing just on a day-to-day basis this year, talent architecture is even more important than ever. I think one of the main reasons we're seeing clients turn to talent architecture is if they've recently experienced or are experiencing any big organizational transformation. So if you've recently had an acquisition or a change in terms of the structure of your organization, it's really important to make sure that that structure is really consistent and supports the entirety of your organization. We're seeing this also come to life with kind of a resurgence, I would say, in the recent years in terms of companies moving to cloud-based HRIS systems. So whether this is Workday, Oracle, or SuccessFactors, before making that big investment into that Workday shift, really taking a look at what are the underpinnings of the data that you're going to be feeding into these systems and making sure you're cleaning that up before taking such an important investment.
And Ale, what you're describing at the organizational level also holds true at the individual employee level. So as you're describing a lot of change, and what we're talking to our clients about is their sense that now as much as ever, they really need to help their employees be versatile, agile, and to anticipate the kinds of skills that'll help them be productive and successful in their roles. And so that means having a very clear idea of what job roles are, and that links back to job architecture and understanding not just the title, but also what are the specific activities, tasks, and responsibilities, and ultimately the purpose of that job, so that employees can prepare and undertake the work of that job day to day. The other thing that we're hearing a lot about from our clients is they sense a need to really engage their employees. That's always been important. Employee engagement is obviously important in terms of productivity and retention. But here too, in this remote environment, in many cases, teams are working in more leaner and more agile ways. Leaders really are looking for ways to help their employees develop skills, competencies, a sense of career paths that can help their employees, but not only better understand what they need to do day to day to be productive and successful, but also what their long-term options are within an organization. And last but not least, linking back to HRIS systems, and Ale, I know you touched on this too, our clients are talking a lot about the need to be able to access people information quickly to make sure that it's accurate. And so that is where job architecture, and particularly that structure of job titles and job families, is essential. And then also, clients are looking for ways to optimize their HRIS systems and the existing skills or competency modeling modules that may exist in those systems. So there too, they're looking for ways to think more expansively about what are their employees need to be successful on the job today, but also with the advent of everything from remote work to advances in technology like AI or digital transformation, we're just working in more agile and lean ways. They want to make sure they have skills libraries and competency models that can support that and that can augment what they already have in their HRIS system. So those are just some of the things I think that are bubbling up right now. Although, Ale, you're right. These have always been things our clients have flagged as important.
Thanks, Susie. I'm hearing a lot of really great applications here, whether it's a major transformation, HRIS system, down to really helping people get the most out of the work environment they're in. Is this a really always a big bang kind of effort? Is it like, what's the usual size and scope of a talent architecture effort?
That's a great question, Jeff. One of the things that we've talked a lot about as a team is that talent architecture doesn't have to be one size fits all. It shouldn't be. And it's also not all or nothing. It really depends on what the organization is experiencing and what kind of solution might best fit for the kind of challenge an organization is trying to address. So one thing, we talk about a lot with clients is that this can be a big bang effort or an enterprise-wide effort. In other words, something that really extends all the way from job architecture and then from job architecture, once that's defined, builds towards skills, identifying competencies, and then ultimately using talent assessments as a mechanism to help reinforce skills and capabilities for employees in that organization. Or it can be what we call a small bang, something that is much more targeted. Maybe a organization's job architecture is working really well for them, but the missing link is that connection between skills and particular jobs and the kind of expertise required to be high performing. And so in that instance, we might take what we call a small bang approach, much more targeted. It's focusing in on skills and helping an organization define that for a subset of employees. So the difference really is a matter of scope and scale and the kinds of combinations of solutions we're bringing in. And that very much depends on what the organization needs to be successful.
I think, Susie, as you were describing that, I'm just thinking of one particular example where I think it was considered a small bang in terms of the focus and scope of the effort we were doing, but it certainly had almost a big bang impact in terms of the value to the client. I think this particular example stands out because it was also a non-traditional organization. So this was a large organization in the industrial sector, and their particular problem was really trying to solve for lowering turnover for managers that had been recently promoted. So that change from going from an individual contributor and being really successful at that to now managing a team of individuals and all of the other skills that come with that was really a problem in terms of setting up those individuals to be successful in that role. So we actually ended up partnering with them and focused on one particular part of their organization. So I think that's another example of talent architecture doesn't have to be enterprise-wide. You can really focus in on one particular problem and perhaps one particular job family or department that has a particular need. In this case, we're really focusing on understanding how can we really define success for these particular roles in this group. So what does success look like when you're a new manager in this group? What are the new types of skills that employees need to be demonstrating in order to be successful as a new manager? And how can we better prepare individuals that might be looking to move into this manager role so that they have the learning and development and career progression guidance even before they come into this manager role? Through the work that we did in really defining what we called success profiles for these roles, we basically brought clarity into the skills and technical requirements that are needed to be successful as a manager. And in doing that, we actually found support that perhaps this particular organization needed to implement what we see actually becoming a little bit more common across organizations in different industries, but implementing a dual career path. That way, their employees that want to be strong individual contributors that have deep technical expertise and want to stay in that career path.
Thanks, Dale. I'm thinking definitely the idea of like how I become a better manager. It's not something I would normally think of as talent architecture, but it's great to kind of see like what that problem was, retention issue, and then translating that into a better focus for the individual. I think that's a really powerful kind of story. As I said, small bang with a large impact. Do you guys have an example of big bang that also had a large impact?
Yes. Jeff, one of the examples that comes to mind is work that we did with a financial services company. This really represents a big bang because it brings together a combination of different talent architecture solutions, so job architecture, skills, as well as competencies, and then connecting those to compensation and HRIS. So a little bit more background. In this case, the client really struggled with a few pain points. First, their job architecture was very complex and it varied across the organization. So there was no clear consistency with job titles and roles. There was a lot of distinction between different functions and levels. And it was really hard for employees and leaders to understand both the nature of the work done under different titles, but also to do proactive workforce planning and talent management because of that complexity in the job architecture. The other piece that the client was looking to address and sought our help with was creating a more market competitive rewards program and compensation structure. So because there was so much complexity with the job architecture and titles and different levels, it was really hard for them to align compensation to market relevant roles and also create a scalable framework for rewards across the enterprise. And last but not least, the employer wanted to better understand the kinds of skills and capabilities they would need, just not just to be successful today, but to really equip their employees to be successful in the next 2 to 5 years and anticipate the kinds of capabilities that they would need both at the organizational level and what would that mean for employees in terms of skills they'll need to be successful to achieve high performance. So with that, we undertook an engagement that really represents big bang. We started off with job architecture and helping them create a much more streamlined, consistent, and scalable framework for jobs, levels, and ultimately this fed into job descriptions within the organization. We also created visibility into what kinds of skills were needed, not just in terms of the actual jobs today, but what was going to be needed down the road. So helping them think through non-technical and technical jobs and also delineating the types of proficiency or expertise levels that would be essential for employees to be high-performing within their specific roles. And last but not least, we helped the client develop a compensation strategy, and here bringing in some of our colleagues across PwC to develop a scalable compensation and reward strategy that not only aligned to the market, but was very clear and transparent to leaders, to managers, and to the employees themselves. The other piece of this that is important to note is that we took the output of the talent architecture effort, everything from the job architecture itself, but also those skills components, and fed them into the client's HRIS system. And this allowed them not only to more readily access people data, but then employees and leaders were able to look at job profiles and easily link what jobs required which skills and what employees and members of the workforce they had that might align to those jobs and skills. What I love about this example is, yes, it's a big bang. This was a large-scale effort across the enterprise. But first of all, it required a lot of collaboration. So as we were working on this, we worked very closely with leaders, with subject matter experts, with employees to understand what the organization needed today, but also where they wanted to go from a business strategy perspective and what talent architecture would need to do to be able to support them to get there.
That's so great. I mean, I love that story because you not only hear the foundation, but then how it grows from there. Like, you have the job descriptions, you have the compensation, you have the career pathing. So it's really clear that there's a lot of impact that the talent architecture can have. Now, if I'm out there listening to this, I'm going to start to wonder, like, how do I know, like, if I need this? Like, what workforce challenges am I facing? Should I be looking at to say, oh, yeah, talent architecture is right for me?
So Jeff, when we talk with clients about what might be some of the triggers, we typically start with an understanding of what's working well for them today and what isn't. So in the case of job architecture, for example, what we often hear from clients is there's a lot of complexity and or inconsistency in things like titles or job descriptions. Sometimes they'll say, you know, we have thousands of job titles and different titles for the same job, or a job over here with this title is very different in terms of roles and responsibilities than a job with the same title over here that has very different expectations. So often that signals that job architecture is a place to look more closely at. The other thing we often hear is a trigger is the area of employee experience. So that might include everything from leaders sharing that employees are struggling to understand what expectations are for their role, or they're struggling to pivot to new ways of working, or maybe new agile or digital day-to-day operational changes. Sometimes we hear leaders share that employees are frustrated or don't feel like they have effective clarity into what kind of mobility they have from a career perspective in the organization. So we talk a lot about career paths, but underneath career paths is a very clear job architecture and understanding of what skills and competencies are essential for particular roles. So very much it's something that we want to make sure is linked clearly to business strategy and also very firmly anchored in what's working well for a client today and what's not, and focusing in on what the root challenges are to what's not working well.
Great. And that makes a lot of sense, just kind of getting a sense of that element from the structure and the process perspective. But I know we also talked about the talent architecture can be applied at the individual level too. So can we just say just a few more things about that, like how architecture can be applied at the individual level?
Job architecture and knowledge architecture really bring clarity, consistency, and create a better and easier employee experience at that individual level. If we think about job architecture and what Susie was describing in terms of that structure of jobs and levels and families, certainly having a cohesive structure in which your job fits in is going to help your day-to-day experience be more effective. So for example, if you're a project manager and you're working alongside other project managers, even if they're supporting different groups, you're going to be able to learn from each other, create synergies, and have a more consistent experience across all of the project managers that do similar work to you. We can then go a layer deeper with the knowledge architecture. If we're starting to really look at defining the skills and competencies that are needed to be successful, this is really providing that clarity in terms of what success looks like. So when employees are really trying to think through their goal setting or how to set themselves up, not just for their current job, but even for future jobs, bringing visibility into what defines success for roles across the organization is really critical to setting up employees to be successful for their current jobs and any jobs that they might be interested in moving to in the future. And we've even seen clients kind of take this a step further. So employees have great conversations with their managers about skills that they want to focus on. They have clear goals that they want to work on towards some of these new skills that they want to develop. And organizations are now also linking some of these skills and competencies to their learning resource ecosystem. So it's very, very simple for employees to say, I want to work on my storytelling skills, for example. And with one click, sometimes enabled through the HRIS system, they're able to easily access all of the resources to help them become better storytellers. So the sky's the limit in terms of the extent to which you can really leverage and harness this clarity in the job architecture or the knowledge architecture and bring it into the employee's day-to-day experience.
This sounds really great. All of this sounds really great. So how do I learn more? Where can I go to get more information about this?
We actually have a lot of great information on our website. So if you go to pwc.com/people analytics, you'll actually be able to see a lot of information about everything we talked about today, covering job architecture, competency modeling, skills libraries, and the talent assessments that we offer.
Terrific. Well, I want to thank you both for your time today, and thank you for a great discussion. And again, if we want more information on this topic or additional podcasts in our series on people analytics, please visit our Organization and Workforce Transformation podcast page at pwc.com. Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by PwC, all rights reserved. PwC refers to the U.S. member firm or one of its subsidiaries or affiliates, and may sometimes refer to the PwC network. Each member firm is a separate legal entity. Please see www.pwc.com/structure for further details. This podcast is for general information purposes only and should not be used as a substitute for consultation with professional advisors.